Romans 16, as we kind of jumped over his name a little bit last week to just look at a couple of these other miscellaneous characters. But in verse 21, it says, Timotheus, my work fellow, Paul says about him. So as we think about Timothy, he is by far the best known of Paul's fellow workers in this text, for sure. We know him for a number of reasons, but probably the main one is that he's got two books written to him, right? So you kind of know his name a part of that. We first are introduced to him in Acts chapter 16. So would you turn over there? Acts chapter 16. I enjoyed this study. Sometimes you come to a Bible character, at least I do, come to him and I think, I know a pretty good bit about this guy. And then there's things that are like, wow, I don't think I quite understood it under those circumstances or whatever it might be. So I'm looking forward to working through some things with him tonight. I want us to just see this simple truth before we read the text in Acts chapter 16, that no matter what else happens, we can and should be faithful. We can and should be faithful. Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he, this would be Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So we're introduced to Timothy as Paul circles back through, probably on his, or not probably, on his second missionary journey, we see him. So let's look at a couple of things about him. Number one, his family. And we learn a little bit about his family in this text. His father was a Greek and probably lost. We don't see any indication in Scripture that his dad was saved. And then we also know that his mother was Jewish, according to this text. We also know that his grandmother and his mother were both saved. We don't find that out until we get to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He probably lived in Lystra, though he's connected to both Derbe and Iconium, and you could see all three of them listed in this text of Scripture, and those cities were not too far away from those things. We say that because in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, it lists him with someone that came out of some of the other cities, where they're coming from and so forth, and we believe that Timotheus was probably from that location. So other than those couple of little facts, we don't know a lot about his family. We don't really know how old he was when Paul took him. The Bible calls him a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son, but we have no idea. Most people believe that he's probably in his late 20s when he's pastoring at Ephesus, but that's fairly late in his ministry. It is my contention, though I would not draw a line on this with you, but I think Timothy was probably a teenager, and maybe not a late teenager when Paul first takes him. Maybe 16, 17 years old, somewhere along those lines as Paul takes him on his journey. And I want you to remember, we've talked about this quite a bit with these Bible characters as we've worked through them, to place yourself in what's happening in Bible days, okay? It's not like he's going on a luxury cruise. Right? I mean, he's going with Paul. The guy likes jails, right? I mean, like, either that or he just visits a bunch of them. I mean, he may not necessarily like them, but he's going to be there, right? I've been studying, finished my message for the 11:30 service today, and in 2 Corinthians alone, Paul lists four sections of his light affliction, and it's like, are you kidding? I mean, it's unbelievable what this guy went through. How much of all that Timothy understood, we're not sure, but he's about to embark on an incredible journey, if you will. And as we unfold this, and we'll see how far we get today, but as we unfold this, we're going to find out that Paul puts him in some really critical things. I mean, he goes to some difficult cities to deal with problems particularly as he goes. And yet he's a young man. I don't think anybody thinks he was over 30 by the time he gets to Ephesus and is, quote unquote, the senior pastor of that church. And that's a pretty significant ministry as well. So we know a little bit about his family. We don't know if at this point his father was already off the scene or what. Again, most people believe that he was probably saved on Paul's first missionary journey through this, though we don't know that for sure. We do believe that Paul was instrumental in his salvation. So let's look at number two, his faith. What do we know about his relationship with Christ and all of those kind of things as he went through there? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. It's very obvious that if Paul didn't have heavy influence in leading Timothy to Christ, he certainly had a different level of affection for Timothy. It was a different kind of relationship. We know, of course, that his mother and grandmother had a huge influence as well. They had an unfeigned, that'd be an unhypocritical faith. It was a real faith in that home, and that impacted him greatly as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul mentions that Timothy had fully known the persecutions and afflictions which came to him at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. These persecutions occurred during the apostles' first visit to these towns. So Timothy seems to have been one of those who were converted at that time. So if Timothy understood the persecutions that happened on that first missionary journey, then he was probably already privy to what Paul was happening. But he was probably saved on that first journey, though he may have already been saved because of his mother's and grandmother's influence there. The Bible tells us he had an excellent testimony. It says here in chapter 16 in verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren. That word simply means to affirm in a supportive manner, to testify favorably, to speak well of, to approve. In other words, the churches there said, this young man has something special, Paul. If you want to invest in something, this is the guy that you need to do that. And I love that about him. And it kind of, as we work through this, kind of begs the question, how is our testimony? If somebody were to ask about you, what would they say? Periodically, I get an email from someone saying, Pastor, I need you to give me a recommendation on such and such a ministry position or a job or whatever, and it's like, what would I say about you? Right? I mean, those are good questions. And more importantly, what does our Lord say about you? But what do people know us as? They clearly knew Timothy had an excellent testimony. Letter C, he is circumcised so that his ministry is not hindered. And we learn that in chapter 16 in verse 3. So Paul would have him go forth with him, took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And you're like, well, what does that have to do really with his faith? I believe it demonstrates that Timothy was willing to go through some things, even though he didn't have to. He was willing to go through some things so that his ministry wouldn't be hindered. He was willing to say, hey, I will endure some things that I don't necessarily have to endure, so that I'm not limited in my ministry. And I love that about him. And it's an important question for us as we look through, are we willing to give up personal rights to better serve others? Sometimes we're so concerned about our personal rights that we're missing the fact that, you know what, I could better serve others if I would give that up in the process. And he's going to learn that Paul does that quite frequently as he travels with him. The Bible also tells us, number four, that he served like Paul and was a servant. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I don't know why this particular time as I was studying the life of Timothy, it really struck me for someone like an Apostle Paul. I mean, most of us have either heard or probably thought, or we would put him way up there, maybe one of the greatest Christians to ever live. Fully surrendered. I mean, most of our New Testament has his fingerprints all over it, right? Either through direct writing or through proteges that wrote the New Testament. I mean, for him to say of Timothy, I have no man that's like-minded. Now, let's think back to just the people that we've gone through in Romans chapter 16. They were precious co-workers because Paul's listing them in the Word of God. And he lists, I forget how many there is, but it's over 40 different workers that he has with him. But Timothy is a different guy. He's like, he's like-minded. He's going to care for you. So he's going to send him to the church at Philippi. We also know that he was at Thessalonica. We know that he was probably at Corinth. We know that he was at Ephesus. I mean, that's pretty significant as he works through there. So he was served like Paul and was a servant himself. And again, and I think it's interesting, by the way, in this Philippians 2, you realize what's previous in that passage, right? The great servant passage that our Lord was willing to lay aside everything, even the death of the cross. And Timothy is in that like-minded. So are we servants? Letter E in this, as we work through this, he was faithful. He was faithful. This was one of those things that I'm like, oh, I don't think I ever saw this before. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." And I thought, faithful. We can immediately think of a verse, right? Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Where is that found? 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. That's the same chapter. It's just a few verses later that Paul says he's faithful in the Lord. So we're talking about only separated by a few verses where Paul says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And by the way, if you want an example of that, it's Timothy. Wow. It just really jumped off the page at me this time. And it reminds us again, would others consider us faithful? Those of you that aren't familiar with this, and just a reminder for those of you that are, when you pull into our parking lot, there's a sign attributed to a faithful man, Ken Howard. I mean, he was just a faithful man. And I'm grateful for men like that we can get to know. So as I thought about this, and we've got some time a little bit tonight, so men, if you have those mics, I'd like for you to grab those. And I want you to think for a little bit tonight, and this is the question, okay? What would mark someone as faithful? Okay, so what would mark someone as faithful? Now, I think first off, you have to think, okay, what is my definition of faithfulness? And then what would mark them as being faithful as we work through this? Okay, so I'm not talking about just Timothy, but what would mark someone as faithful? Okay? Okay, Sarah Jo?
Dependability. You don't have to worry if they're going to be there or not.
Okay, dependability. We can see that in some of the verses that we've read about Timothy again, right? He's going to come and he's going to help you with this and this and this. So, okay, good. Someone else. B, right behind you there, Josh.
When I think of faithfulness, I think of boring consistency.
Okay.
Just not anything fancy. They're just always there doing what they need to do.
Yeah, just a boring consistency that's there. Like it's just boom, 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 boom. Sometimes people call those kind of people plotters. They're like, they're going to always be there and they're going to always do exactly what they're supposed to do no matter what. Really, that's just, and I think it's an amazing characteristic. So Joan and then Gabe, we'll get to you in just a second.
Well, just the very definition of the word faithful, they're full of faith.
Okay.
They're doing the consistent work and they're keeping their promises, keeping their word, because they are full of faith and not just full of character necessarily.
Right. Okay,
so it's
great.
Based in their life with the Lord.
Yeah, great. Okay, so they're full of faith. They're resting in what God has asked them to do, which allows them to do some of these other things. So, Gabe?
They're the kind of people that if they're having church services at a church, you know they're going to be there.
Right, yeah. They're going to do exactly what they're expected of you to do. There are all kinds of examples of this, but probably one that I know of personally was when I was in Ghana, West Africa, a national pastor, sweet guy, just loved the Lord. He rode 40 miles to tell the missionary that he could not keep his word the next day in something he had committed to. 40 miles one way to say, I am so sorry that I'm not going to be able to keep my word. Here's what's happened. Here's why. And the missionary was like, well, of course, that's, you know, more important and so forth. And sit down and have something to eat. And then he rode 40 miles back. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And those kinds of men just, it's incredible to me. That trip taught me more about those kinds of men that are faithful. I mean, they're just, yeah. I know another guy, he rides 12 miles on a bicycle. This guy had a small moped, but 40 miles on a small moped is still a big deal, 80 miles round trip. This other guy had a bicycle, and he rode it 12 miles into the interior to preach at a church every single Sunday. One of those Sundays, he was ambushed with a shotgun, lay in the path, lived, and then went back to the church. It was amazing. That kind of stuff's faithful. Okay, someone else. What would mark someone as faithful? Okay, Brother Bishop, and then my wife.
I think faithful, you could be well-to-do and you could be poor.
Okay, absolutely.
These people, they don't do it for show.
Right.
They do it because they love the Lord.
Right.
And he told them to do it, and they know it, and they're just going to do it.
Yeah, okay. So you could be poor or rich, and you could be faithful. I'm going to use an example of that Sunday morning. That's an amazing story. Most of you are familiar with it, but yes, ma'am.
Just that they don't let difficulties stop them.
Like, right.
They don't quit.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what comes along, whether it's smooth sailing or it's super difficult. They're doing right.
They're going to do what's right. Yep, good. Yes, Brother Steve?
Just a word that just popped into my mind, but integrity.
Okay.
They integrity. Are who they are.
Yes.
24/7.
Right.
Waking. That what they do is not for pretense.
Yeah.
It's not put on.
Good. So in other words, they are that when they're at home with their kids or in the marketplace or in the church building or whatever, that's who they are with that. Really good. Okay. Switch the question up just a little bit on you. What are some... We know the big names, okay? We know that our Lord was faithful and all that. But what are some unusual, maybe out of the limelight, characters in the Word of God that was faithful? Faithful. I immediately thought of one that's an unusual one, but I think it goes to
Onesimus.
Onesimus.
After he got saved.
Okay. We're not going to talk a lot about him because I haven't preached on him yet in the New Testament. Onesimus, absolutely. Nicholas?
The centurion whose daughter Jesus healed.
Okay, yeah, and we can see that by what the Jews testify about him, yeah. As a matter of fact, the Lord says, I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel. Good, those are good ones. Okay, someone else? Sergio?
Esther's uncle.
Oh, Mordecai. Good, good, good. All right, good. Yes, they're coming, Spencer.
Jonathan.
Oh, Jonathan. I love Jonathan. He is one of my favorite characters in God's Word because he was faithful. He was faithful. This is the part of all of his faithfulness, and he was faithful in a number of areas, but all of the faithfulness to me is he followed his dad when he knew his dad was wrong. He knew he was wrong. He knew he was going to die, but that was his responsibility, and he did it and died. That to me is amazing, really, with that. So nobody's gotten mine yet. Okay? Gabe? Lily, they're coming to you. Whoever gets there first, go ahead. It's not a race, but anyway. Yes, Gabe?
I think of Abigail, who kept David from killing her husband, Nabal.
Okay. Abigail.
Regardless of what kind of a man he was.
Yeah. And he was a jerk. That's what he was. So, yes, Lily?
Abraham's servant searching for a wife for Isaac.
Okay, good. That's a good one. Yeah, just faithful, doing... And when he gets there, he's like, my master told me to do something, and I'm not going to sit still until I get done with that. Yeah, good. Paul and Joan. Oh, I'm sorry, Naomi?
Ruth.
Ruth. Oh, yeah, that's another good one, isn't it? I mean, all these we could talk a lot about, right? Just faithful with that. Okay, Paul?
Noah, he was kind of like the only one to survive because he was faithful.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, his family too.
Yes. Okay, 120 years? I'm often, and I, you guys know me because I'm a little facetious at times, but I'm like, God tells you to build this boat. You're like, where do you start? Like, it's going to take you 120 years. Well, I guess you start by cutting down a tree. I mean, you know, what you guys, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, okay? It's, and I probably won't care when I get to heaven, but I'm like, did he just cut trees for 30 years? Like, I mean, like, you know, it's like, boys, what are we going to do today? We're going to cut some more trees because we're going to need an awful lot of lumber for this thing. I mean, it's like, you know, it, that is pretty amazing. Even though he's a pretty significant character in Scripture. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Someone else did it. Okay, Joan. These are good.
You know, we're all sitting here trying to think of what you're thinking of. But I'm going to throw Jochebed out there.
Oh.
Moses' mother.
Moses' mother.
Great woman of faith.
Yeah, amazing. You think about this. Jochebed was able to instill in Moses in just a few years all that he needed to know about his God. I mean, he's going to learn more about God, obviously, but enough for him to have this idea about that. Excellent. Yes.
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah. Yeah, faithful in some unbelievable circumstances there. So, but Jason?
The widow with the two mites.
Ooh.
I was thinking about how they're largely, unknown.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't even know her real name, but faithful. And Jesus points her out. So, Brother Dave?
Elisha.
Elisha. Good. Yeah, faithful in all those things. Brother Steve, just holler yours out. Naaman. Doing what's right. Okay, we'll stop there and I'll give you mine. Uriah. You think about how much David trusted him. He carried his own death warrant, and David knew he wouldn't look at it. And he was so faithful, he's not even willing to go home to his wife, which was well within his quote-unquote rights, but he's like, no, I'm going to do that. Are you kidding me? My buddies are out in the field. Nope, that's not going to be me. Pretty amazing man for sure as we work through this. Number three, I want us to talk about his fear. Now, this is really an interesting one because most people that I've heard have said it's pretty obvious that Timothy was a fearful person and so forth. There's much debate about this, even as this week as I was looking at some things. Those who claim that he was fearful point to the verses where Paul admonished him in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then verse 7 of that same text of Scripture, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I wonder, was this just the normal rigors of ministry, or was it an abnormal fear? Can I tell you, over the years, and I'm not trying to get sympathy, I don't consider myself a particularly fearful person. I don't naturally feel that way. But can I tell you, there's been a lot of days that I've cried in the ministry. A lot of times that I've done that. Can I tell you, I've quoted the verse, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. If Timothy, and I don't know this for sure because the Bible doesn't give us an age, but I think about myself. I can't imagine traveling with Paul at 17 or 18 years old and all that he went through. Yeah. We're going to find a little bit later on that Timothy spent time in prison because the book of Hebrews tells us that he's going to be released from prison. You don't get released unless you're there to begin with, right? That's what happens. I don't know. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the working of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Some would point to these verses and say, see, he had to stir him up. He had to remind him to do these things and da-da-da-da. Maybe it's just the normal rigors of ministry that he needed to be reminded. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if Timothy had an abnormal fear at the beginning, but can I tell you, if he was naturally timid and fearful, you didn't see that later in his ministry. Because, again, he pastored some amazing churches. And Paul specifically sent him on journeys And we won't get to that till next week. But Paul sent him on journeys that were tough journeys to deal with tough problems. And it was Timothy that he sent. And you think about just some of the texts we've already read. He told the church at Corinth, I'm going to send Timothy. He told the church at Philippi, I'm going to send Timothy. Wow. By the way, the Bible doesn't say this, but history records that Timothy ultimately was a martyr's death. So fear didn't get a hold of him then. He stood in whatever way, whether it was fire or lions or sword or whatever, and didn't deny his Lord. But a lot of people think that he was a timid person. And Paul certainly gives some things to him in those areas. But again, if he were a young man, it would be easy for him to say, hey, don't forget, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And don't forget to serve. God's given you a gift of ministry. You can do that. And I think it's interesting, regardless of whether he had it or not, that do we allow fear to be an excuse not to serve? Most of us probably have something that we're afraid of. But if God asks us to do that something, would we do it? Someone has said in the context of military campaigns and other areas as well, that courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing what's right, even though you're afraid. I mentioned to you before, if you want to just do some fun and yet sometimes awe-inspiring and sometimes sad reading, go to the Medal of Honor page. But when you read some of the guys that actually lived, because a lot of them got their Medal of Honor posthumously, but if they lived and hear them tell the story, rarely do you find those guys saying, are you kidding me? I wasn't scared the least bit. I just jumped in there and did what I knew was right. That's not the story they give you. Their story is, I knew it was right to do, and somebody had to do it, and so I'm going to do it, you know, type of thing. So that's important for us to remember that aspect. Okay, I'm going to stop there. We're just a couple of minutes early, but I know I cannot get through the rest of my notes for this. But next week, what I want us to do is look at his focus. What was his work like? And we're just going to kind of walk through the Bible and look at all the places that we know he was. There's a gap in his life that we don't know what was happening. But all the places that we know he was, and one of the things you're going to find about him is some of the significant stories in the Apostle Paul's life, some of them that are tough as well as significant. Timothy was there. And it was like, oh, wow, this guy really was around a whole lot as he works through those and then lives a long time after Paul passed away as well. And, of course, we know Paul died a martyr's death as well. And he's quite a character, I think, as we look. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the character of Timothy, and we sure love you. And we look forward to finishing this study in 2 weeks. In your name, we pray these things. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Don't forget, children in Master's Club and youth are still doing that, so don't be barging into some of those places, okay?